is the future of wrestling. You can call this the New World Order of Wrestling, brother.
You guys talk about being students of the game.
Yes.
I am the game, JR.
Yes.
There is nobody that eats, sleeps, or breathes this business more than me.
Once again, I did it all by my sweet little self. I knew it. I'm a winner.
And that's the butterfly.
Oh, yeah.
The Stone Cold said so.
You do not throw rocks at a man who's got a machine gun.
You are now listening to The Gerwick Report with Steve Gerwick and Frank D.
Episode 97 of the GRP. It is Wednesday, April the 15th, 2015. A full slate of topics to discuss today. We're going to talk about the TNA situation, follow-up from the last podcast, with TNA falling behind in payments to wrestlers. We've got some late-breaking information, and what could possibly this mean to Taz and his status with TNA. We're going to talk about the CM Punk comments made about fake wrestling. Yes, fake wrestling. Go figure. We've got New Day. We've got the Briscoes. We've got Chris Jericho. We're going to do that in just one moment. Let me tag in my tag team partner, Frank D.
Hey, Steve. How's it going, my man?
Doing real good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm just chilling and copacetic. And what about the listeners of the GRP? No. But you can over right now to prowrestlingtees.com/Gerwick. And check out our T-shirt store today. You might see something you like, $19.99 plus shipping and handling. When you buy a shirt, you help support the GRP and Gerwick.net. So check it out today, prowrestlingtees.com/GERWECK. And if you can't buy a T-shirt today, we completely understand that. Just do us a favor and spread the word about the Gerwick Report podcast. Let people out there know that, hey, I listen to Steve Gerwick. I listen to Frank D. They've had Eric Bischoff on. They've had Vince Russo on. They've had Terry Runnels on. They've had a number of guests on the show, and it's all for free. Spread the word of the GRP.
Yeah, I want to give a plug to Mr. Important on Twitter. Put that he just listened to the Gerwick Report, and now he's hooked. He always thought the Gerwick.net website was just a website, but now he's learned that we also produce a great podcast. So as Frank was saying out there, if you enjoy what we're doing here on the GRP, we try to tell it like it is 100%. And if you enjoy it, tell a friend.
Absolutely.
Put the word out there on Twitter, Facebook. There's a lot of ways to interact with your friends out there and say, oh, I listened to this podcast. We'll say, well, give GRP a chance. Go to Gerwick.net. You can check that out. And, of course, at Gerwick.net, all your late-breaking wrestling news. And, of course, the story that we broke, Frank, that I guess others like to claim they broke, was the situation last week with TNA. And we reported that TNA had fallen behind in payments to wrestlers. Paychecks were not being signed, not being delivered to a lot of the talent. Since then, we've learned that some wrestlers have gotten paid. In fact, Matt Hardy went on Twitter and said he'd get, five paychecks. So he's being paid fine. I think he said that when he was here on our podcast, that he was being paid fine by TNA. From what I understand, Frank, is that TNA is paying the top talent. Probably guys like Kurt Angle, Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, they're receiving their payments, and I don't believe they've ever gotten behind, as far as I know, with the top talent. But what you have to worry about are some of the lower card guys, the Rockstar Spuds, the Brams, etc. Are they being paid? So we did break the story, and I did see other websites claim that, you know, they broke the story. And I guess the follow-up as well is that, you know, Matt Hardy came forward, but now we don't know the status of Taz. In fact, I believe Taz took off on his Twitter that he was a TNA announcer. And there's a lot of speculations that Taz has not been paid and that Taz, you know, may no longer be with TNA Wrestling. So I guess, I don't know, Frank, is Josh Matthews going to have to broadcast all alone in TNA?
Well, you know what? Josh Matthews, if he has a broadcast all by himself in TNA, it's no different than Joey Styles broadcasting himself in ECW on his own. If Taz leaves TNA, if he's gone from TNA, if he's a part of the company, is that really a big loss? Absolutely not. I think that Taz's best work, in my view, was when he was with Michael Cole on SmackDown years ago. I mean, Taz came over to TNA. If you remember, he was a part of the Main Event Mafia. He was kind of an advocate for Samoa Joe, if you remember that storyline. So I mean, in my opinion, it's not a big loss. You know, if Taz felt that he wasn't getting paid properly and he felt that he wasn't being utilized to his full potential, and Taz wants to do his podcast, if Taz thinks that he has a shot back in the whip, all I mean is go right for it. But I don't really think it's a big loss for TNA at all. I think that they could be able to recover from this. I mean, Josh Matthews, it's his time to shine now. But can he carry a broadcast all by himself? I don't know. I can't answer that question.
TNA is paying the top stars, as I said. The guys like Kurt Angle, the Hardys are being paid. Taz obviously doesn't fit into that equation. And, of course, Taz came from WWE, as Frank was talking about, his run as the SmackDown announcer with Michael Cole. But I've never found Taz to be very entertaining as an announcer. And really, to me, Frank, there's no loss. I mean, I would rather listen to Don West than Taz.
Oh, Don West is one of the most underrated announcers I've ever seen in my life. The guy was great, especially when he was out there shilling the TNA product. I mean, he was one of the guys that was out there that would make you really want to see next Wednesday's pay-per-view. You know when they did the $9.99 deal back when TNA was part of the NWA back in the Nashville days? Hey, listen, I may call TNA the dead brand, but I have been watching the dead brand since they started back in 2002. So I think that I've earned the right to call him the dead brand. But anyways, he's a good announcer. I think Mike Sinead was okay, but he wasn't meant for that lead announcer role. You know, that's the reason why in WCW, he was Shivani's sidekick. He was the guy to come up and, you know, he would give you the stats you needed for the luchadors and the Japanese talent. That's what he was good for. Josh Matthews, he has that whip training. You know, he has that Titan training. He was there. So, I mean, but can he carry it on his own? I don't know. But, you know, Steve, I got to ask you a question, though, pal. What exactly is a top talent right now in TNA? Who exactly are you referring to? I mean, we have Jeff Hardy. I mean, you have Matt Hardy. You got Kurt Angle. Okay, now, what about the rest of the talent down there? Are we talking about James Storm? Are we talking about Bobby Roode? Are we talking about Eric Young? Are we talking about Abyss, who Abyss has been in TNA since, 2003? Are we talking about these gentlemen, or I mean, who exactly are we talking about here? The top talents have been paid, but what is it? What is a top talent nowadays in TNA?
That's a really good question. I don't know. I mean, that's what I was told was, you know, the top talent and the office are receiving their checks. It's the lower tier guys, which is most of the roster. I mean, let's face it. As you said, Frank, who are the stars in TNA? And I would say, you know, somebody like Bobby Roode and James Storm are stars. They're not marquee names. If you go around and ask wrestling fans who Bobby Roode is, a lot of them probably couldn't tell you. They may know who Rick Roode is, but who's Bobby Roode?
I don't even know if they would know who Rick Roode is today, Steve.
That unfortunately, that's probably true.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree with you, though. I don't know. I mean, I think there's only a handful of guys who would really be considered the top stars, the money earners in TNA, and probably most are the Hardys and Kurt Angle. So those gentlemen are receiving their paychecks. Again, you know, Matt Hardy touted that he was being paid fine in TNA. The problem, again, is the lower tier guys. And that appears to be most of the talent and the women, Frank. So those are the ones you have to really worry about.
Well, you know, that's a shame because of guys that have put, you know, their blood, their sweat, and their tears into the TNA product over the years. I mean, when you talk about the TNA originals, Steve, you talk about people like James Storm. James Storm has been there since the beginning. I mean, he started off as a singles. They put him up with Chris Harris. Remember, they were America's Most Wanted.
Yes.
Remember that? So then they went, I mean, he went on to form a tag team. We were just talking about him and Bobby, you know, Bobby Roode. They were Beer Money. You know, one of the top tag teams in the business. And then, these two guys here should be main eventing TNA shows for the world title. But TNA doesn't see it that way. They push, you know, the Kurt Angles, and they push the Jeff Hardys and the Matt Hardys, you know, who are not TNA originals. I mean, yeah, Kurt Angle's been there, you know, longer, I think, than he was in WWE. But do I consider Kurt Angle a TNA original? Absolutely not. When I think of TNA originals, I think of people who were there from the beginning. You know, the first show in Huntsville, Alabama. You know, people like AJ Styles, people like Jerry Lynn, you know, people like Ken Shamrock. Those are the people who I consider, you know, be TNA originals, Jeff Jarrett. So it is what it is. I mean, it's just a different mindset down there in the company. And it's like, you got to take care of your talent. I said this last week, you know, and we got some controversy, Steve, on our YouTube channel from some jackass out there who decides that he wants to call us names and say that we're coming up with BS rumors or whatever. And it's not BS rumors, son. The bottom line is that we are told our stories from people within that know. And that's what we report. We reported it here on episode 96 of the GRP, which you can check out right now at gerwick.net in the audio section. We're the first ones who broke that story. There's plenty of stories that Steve and I have that we can't talk about publicly out of secrecy.
Yep.
I think that it's terrible that you're not taking care of your talent, the guys that are going out there. I mean, how many times have you seen Abyss go through thumbtacks for TNA, get sliced up for TNA, and not to get his paycheck on time? I think that's ludicrous.
For a lot of stories about what goes on backstage at TNA, and maybe it's changed now in recent times, but we heard the stories about some of the activity, you know, behind the scenes at TNA, and then you see a Jeff Hardy years ago in the ring against Sting in no condition to work. I mean, that has gone on in TNA.
Right.
I don't think it's any big secret. I don't think I'm breaking any news here. That activity's gone on, and a lot of the bigger names in that company was involved in some of that activity. I'm not naming any names, but I mean, when Jeff Hardy, one of your main stars, I mean, the guy who was in the main event on that pay-per-view against Sting, is in clearly no condition to wrestle, no condition to be performing in the ring, and you put him in the ring. I mean, that says a lot. And let me say this too about the commentary situation, because you're talking about Josh Matthews working alone, and I don't really like that idea. You brought up Joey Styles, and I think Joey Styles was a different style, no pun intended. The ECW brand was definitely a different style than TNA, and I don't know if Joey Styles, even today, you know, with today's product, would translate very well. In fact, I don't think he would with today's wrestling. I mean, he worked when they were doing that hardcore stuff, that extreme style. Nowadays, with, you know, more sports entertainment, I don't think he'd really work out all that well as working alone. And I don't think Josh Matthews would work out at all as a solo guy. I think he's kind of dry and needs somebody to work with. The guy I keep thinking of, going back to, you know, the commentary situation, is Jeremy Borash. I mean, he's been there. I mean, you talk about original. The guy's been there since almost day one. And, you know, when he does fill in, Frank, on the commentary, he brings new energy to the show. And I don't know if he could do it, you know, week to week to week, because commentating the TNA brand would probably bring you down a little bit. But when he's on the show, it brings a different excitement to the show, a different level of interest. And I think Matthews and Borash would be a pretty good team on there.
I tend to agree with that. I mean, if you want to push, you know, Jeremy Borash into that spot, I would have no problem with that. Here's a guy who's been there since day one, a guy who actually loves the brand, and a guy who's doing voiceovers right now for the Howard Stern Show. I mean, the credentials are there to do that. So I totally agree with you. You know, I mean, I would have no problem with them trying out Matthews maybe once or twice to see if it actually would flow right by himself. But if not, bring in Jeremy Borash and go from there. I have no problem with that. But like I said before, when we first started this conversation here about Taz, it's not a big loss at all.
No, not at all. I know people make a big fuss. Who cares? What does he really offer to the show? I mean, he's never been a huge star in the business. I mean, honestly, I mean, he was the ECW star when ECW was not on the big stage to a larger degree. I mean, when he went to the Whip, he was only there a short time, and before you knew it, he was a commentator. I just don't think he's very good as a commentator.
Well, you know what?
To be honest with you.
You know what? The bottom line is this, is that in ECW, Taz, you know, was billed as the human suplex machine. He had this badass kind of MMA aura about him. And then as soon as he went to the Whip, he was exposed big time. And he went from wearing the singlets to wearing the shirt with the track pants and all that. And just, he became a different character altogether. And then, you know, the stuff that they were doing with him in the Alliance, you remember that, Steve Austin whipping him with a
yep.
belt and all that kind of stuff. He just really killed his credibility. And what killed his credibility more with me, and I don't know if this story is true or not. I mean, I can only go by what I hear and what New Jack said. But New Jack said, Steve, that Rob Van Dam, who we've also had here on the GRP, which you can listen to right now in the audio section and at youtube.com/Good Work Report Podcast, New Jack stated that pretty much Rob Van Dam punked out Taz in the locker room. Told him to pick a hand, and then RVD bitch slapped Taz. So that's where I have a problem with Taz. That's where my brother has a problem with Taz, because we heard that story. Like, okay, well, you're not really a suplex machine. You're just really a punk-ass bitch.
I mean, in all honesty, going back to the ECW days, I thought he was tremendous in ECW. Don't get me wrong. He was the champion there, and the promos with the towels over the head all the time, that was tremendous stuff.
Absolutely.
I don't think he translates well as a color commentator. Some guys don't.
You know,
I mean, for years, I would hear, Ric Flair should be a color commentator. And, I mean, the times that he did it, he wasn't very good. There's a certain brand of talent that really fits well into a situation where you're sitting down ringside with a headset on and somebody screaming in your ears and can bring color. That's what you're supposed to do. You're going to bring color to the commentary. But Taz just doesn't translate into that at all. And honestly, Frank, I didn't think he was very good on the SmackDown situation either.
You know what? To be honest with you. I have to disagree with you on that one because I thought he was working well. I thought him and Cole on the B show was fine. You know, I think that was fine. I thought Taz was doing a pretty good job there. And it got to a point where people were kind of saying, hey, Taz and Michael Cole are a little bit better than JR and the King right now. It was actually getting to that point. So I think that he did fairly well there.
Wow, I wouldn't go that far.
Well, at the time.
Okay, I mean, okay on a B show, I mean, okay, that's fine. But I mean,
at the time, that's what people were saying.
I mean, they couldn't have touched. I mean, nobody could touch JR.
No, well, I'm just saying that's what people.
No commentary team is going to touch JR. Come on.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, going back to what you were saying a minute ago about wrestlers cutting promos in the promo style, and it necessarily doesn't translate well when they get on the mic and commentary. Yeah. Ric Flair, you know, supposedly one of the greatest talkers of all time. I don't see it, but that's what people say. You know, he didn't translate well on the commentary. Booker T is another one. I mean, Booker T could cut a promo. He cut a decent promo. He wasn't one of the best talkers in the business, but he can cut a decent promo, especially what he said about Hulk Hogan at one Spring of Stampede 97 show, which is, you know, it's a viral thing. But is he good on Monday Night Raw? No. Is JBL good on Raw? No.
I mean, like Dusty Rhodes was a great promo guy. I don't think he was a great commentator.
I love Dusty and WCW.
I love Dusty, too. But, I mean, Randy Savage was a much better promo cutter than as a commentator.
Yeah, I mean,
and I love Randy Savage.
Randy wasn't good at it.
Roddy Piper was much better in promo than on commentary.
I tend to agree. I mean, the only person that I saw that was a good promo and that could actually carry himself on the mic as a commentator was Jesse Ventura.
I was just gonna say that
Jesse Ventura was
very, very good. And there's just no Jesse Venturas in wrestling today.
There isn't. I mean, and another one you could say the same. Well, I mean, who was a wrestler first, and then, you know, was a manager, Bobby Heenan.
Absolutely.
You know, there's another guy who actually could pull that off. Now, I mean, a lot of people don't like this guy, but when I heard him in WCW, he was, you know, I mean, it might have been a joke, it might have been a rib, but I thought he was decent on the mic as a commentator. It was Kevin Nash.
Larry Zbysko.
Larry Zbysko.
Larry worked for the company. Jericho. Put him in the company.
Despite what Chris Jericho might tell you about Larry's commentary in WCW, Jericho, Larry was more over than you were, pal. So if you want to be honest about that. I mean, while Larry Zbysko was out there commentating on Nitro and in big money angles with Bischoff and Scott Hall, you were jobbing on Nitro and jobbing to everybody. Yeah. That's how I feel about that. Could Taz come back and could Taz, quote unquote, make an impact? Is Taz going to be back in Impact Wrestling? Is Taz going to come to some type of a deal with TNA? Probably so.
I like Jeremy Borash more than I like Josh Matthews.
You know, Josh Matthews' problem is that he's okay. I mean, he's a hell of a lot better than that damn Byron Saxon, but the problem with Matthews is when Matthews got that TNA job and he opened his mouth and he disrespected the great Jim Ross. That's where a lot of people have a problem with him.
And open mouth, insert foot.
Exactly. Open mouth, and you haven't earned it. You are not in JR's league, pal, to even have said anything to Jim Ross about a damn thing. That's where he hurts. Another guy, you know, that I really thought wasn't that good on commentary, but he was a good promo cutter, but I just didn't like him on commentary. I thought he sucked. I did not like Paul Heyman on commentary when he was with Jim Ross back in the day on Raw. I didn't care for it. And I might be in a minority because there's a lot of people out there that are the Paul Heyman loyalists, but, you know, I think Paul is a great promo cutter. I mean, it's proven in the build-up to WrestleMania. I mean, he had to sell it on his own, but was he a good commentator on the mic? You know, absolutely not.
Yeah, I like Paul Heyman on commentary. I wouldn't say he was my favorite color commentator, but I mean, honestly, Frank, I know they just hired Josh Matthews. I would rather listen to Jeremy Borash and maybe Larry Zbysko. That would be a better team than anything they have currently.
Oh, man, I'd go on further. I would like to listen to maybe a Jeremy Borash and a Tony Schiavone.
Well, I don't think Tony's coming back.
I don't think Tony's coming back either. I'm just saying what I would want. But
Zbysko would come back. I mean, you give him a call, he'd be there tomorrow.
Yeah,
he loves wrestling.
But is Zbysko what TNA is looking for?
Well, are they looking for a good announcer or not?
Well, they've had Taz.
I mean, Josh Matthews is okay. As you said, Frank, Josh Matthews is okay.
Right.
Does he bring excitement to TNA?
Honestly, Steve, can anybody bring excitement to the dead man?
Well, actually,
you said it right there. I mean, you said it right there about being a good color commentator in TNA or whatever. Can you really consider Taz to be that? I mean, Taz has never been that the entire run he's been there.
You said, who could bring life to TNA? I mean, when times Jeremy Borash has been on TNA, he does bring excitement to the product.
Oh,
I mean, Don West bring excitement to the product back. Of course, the product was different back in the day. But, I mean, Jeremy Borash has been on commentary the last year or so. And when he's on, he's very entertaining to listen to, and he brings excitement to the show.
I totally agree. So, I mean, if Dixie's listening out there, if the Dead Brand is listening to the show today, why don't you guys consider putting Jeremy Borash on commentary? I mean, you already have him under contract, so why not utilize his skills? I mean, instead of having him out there as the announcer, the ring announcer, and hyping the crowd, why don't you put the guy on color commentary? Let him call some of the action. With Matthews, let's see these two guys work together. You know, I'm all for that. I'm all for, whatever they can, because it's just not going to work with Taz. I mean, why are you paying Taz? For what? The guy brings absolutely nothing to your brand. The guy has done nothing there since he's been there. I mean, Kevin Nash talks about these midgets, man. There you go.
You're going to be stuck with Josh Matt. I'm not a big fan of his. I'm not a big critic of his. I mean, I just think he's just kind of plain. So if you're going to stick with Josh Matthews, then put Jeremy Borash in the booth, then that would be a good mix with those two working. I mean, it's better than it's better than Taz.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I'll go even one further than that. Why not put Jeremy Borash on color commentary, okay? And if you really want to have somebody out there to ring announce, if you're worried about, well, that's Borash has to be out there to ring announce and all that. Well, I got the perfect guy who could probably go and ring announce for TNA and actually would bring some legitimacy to the announcing there. You know who I'm talking about, Steve?
Justin Roberts?
Absolutely.
And he's worked for the Whip, and they love Whip guys, right?
Absolutely. And Justin Roberts, no knock on Lillian Garcia or anybody else that they have there, but when Justin Roberts would be out there commentating or announcing in the ring, and he would say tonight's match is for the World Heavyweight Championship, he made it very special. It was like when he would do it, it was like a big deal. It's kind of like when WCW back in the day, Steve, had Michael Buffer out there with his Let's Get Ready to Rumble catchphrase and had him come in for the big fight feel kind of moment. Well, when Justin Roberts would not be out there doing it, it's kind of on par with Howard Finkel.
And I will say, too, as kind of a follow-up to our last podcast that we did, episode 96, which you can hear at Gerwick.net, by the way, we did talk about Dixie Carter losing power. Now, it was something I was told specifically that Dixie was losing more power. She had already lost a lot of power with the purse. Janice Carter, her mother, has come in and taken over the purse. But now I'm hearing more and more that she's losing more power. I mean, she's really just a figurehead. And there was a report out there about Destination America being more hands-on, calling the shots. Frank, it can't hurt. I mean, the company is run by morons as is. So if Destination America, who gets a hold of the product and doesn't know the full history of TNA, brings it in and they're saying, boy, this TNA is run by a bunch of idiots, we better call some of the shots around here. I mean, Frank, it can only help TNA for Destination America, since they've invested some money in the company to be more hands-on. And some people may complain that, Destination America, they're just a TV company. But Frank, a five-year-old kid could call better shots than TNA, and it's good to see Dixie Carter lose more and more power. And I'm all for it, Destination America coming in and calling the shots, because we've seen what TNA has done over the years, and let's give them a chance.
Well, Steve, here's the thing. Dixie Carter, I don't know the lady. I don't know the woman. I hear she's a very nice woman, but she don't know diddly squat about the wrestling business. Even with all the big names and the people like Jeff Jarrett trying to teach her the business, she still doesn't get the business. So if that person is just a figurehead now with no real authority or no real power, that's fine. Destination America, I don't know. I don't know anything about Destination America. The only thing I know about them is that they used to have a bunch of shows on talking about, you know, different types of bacon and ribs and all that type of stuff. So, I mean, could a rib channel, you know, really know what to do with a wrestling company? It's kind of like back in the day. Did Turner, you know, Entertainment know what to do with WCW? Did they know anything about WCW when they bought the company? Ted Turner knew he was a fan of wrestling, but did he know how to run a wrestling company? No. So he got his people at CNN Center to micromanage the company, and they micromanaged it into hell, Steve. So is that the type of situation that we want now with TNA? It's hard to say, man. I mean, look what's happened with no network interference whatsoever. And now that Destination America has come on and they say, okay, we want to stop you from, doing shows from the UK. We want Kurt Angle to be the world champion. We're high on this Taryn Terrell. We're high on her. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be a positive or negative until we actually start seeing what they do, what kind of changes that Destination America, you know, wants to make. But it's too early to tell right now. I'm just going back through the history of just TV networks trying to interfere with wrestling programs. But then
don't get me wrong. Would I rather have somebody to come in that knows something about wrestling run TNA? Of course, but that's not going to happen. So, right. I mean, can Destination America run TNA any worse than TNA has already been run?
I don't think they can.
I mean, it'd be pretty hard. I mean, the company is like bleeding money. I mean, you could have sold TNA to Toby Keith, who was a big TNA fan. He didn't want it. You could have sold it to Jeff Jarrett. I don't think Jeff Jarrett really wanted it because he knew the situation that TNA is in. I mean, I'm not a fan of a television network running a wrestling company, but, I mean, we've seen what Dixie Carter has given us over the years and the Carters themselves. I mean, as you said, Dixie Carter doesn't know anything about wrestling, and she's been in wrestling how long now, Frank?
Years.
12 years, 13 years, and she still doesn't know anything about the wrestling business?
Right.
I mean, I'm not a fan of a TV company per se running a wrestling company, but can they do any worse?
I don't think they can.
At least pay the wrestlers, if nothing else, right? They don't walk out on the next taping.
Yeah. Because
if they walk out on the next taping and they're not paid, suddenly they don't have a television show either. I mean, that's the situation with TNA. If Frank has dubbed it the dead brand. And then I saw what you posted something on the Facebook page, one of those parodies of stories that John Cena does a lot of the Make-A-Wish and, you know, visits
kids. Yeah, that was funny. So I actually posted the other day in our Facebook discussion group. I saw this meme, and I thought this story was hilarious. You know, if you ever read Kayfabe News on Facebook, I think it might be kayfabenews.com, they come up with just bogus fake wrestling stories. And it said that John Cena, Make-A-Wish Foundation, has John Cena visit dying TNA. And I thought that was hilarious.
I thought they must have been listening to the podcast where you've been saying, as we've been doing this podcast, they're the dead brand.
Well, you know, Steve, let me put this into perspective right now. Would I get jollies to see TNA go out of business? Absolutely not. Because I understand that it's going to be wrestlers out of work with nowhere to go. Do I want to see that happen? Absolutely not. But do I want to see the wrestlers out there get paid? Yes. If that means folding the company where they can go somewhere else and actually make money, maybe with Global Force Wrestling or something, I'm all for that. My thing is, if TNA can't get their act together, fold. That's it. I don't want people to think that I'm some big, you know, TNA hater or something like that or whatever. Listen, I have lots of TNA VHS videos in my possession that I've taped their pay-per-views over the years and different impacts or whatever. I have all that stuff. Hey, I'm the one who went out there and bought Aces and Eights merchandise. I have TNA DVDs.
You're the one.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the one. Yeah. So I have supported TNA. I have supported the dead brand. But I call it like I see it. And that's just how I see them right now. When you lose Samoa Joe, when you lose AJ Styles, when you lose Chris Sabin, Alex Shelley, Kevin Nash, Booker T, Scott Steiner, you know, Daniels, Kazarian, all these different talents. Well, you don't have them anymore. Amazing Red, Primetime, Ilya Skipper, all these different guys. What does it say about you? What does it say about your company? And you know, and you don't even try to fight to keep these guys. I mean, there is no reason why AJ Styles should not be in TNA. They should have given Styles whatever he wanted to stay. He was the franchise. Like people say, Sting was the franchise of WCW. He never left. Well, AJ was that guy. AJ was your John Cena. And you let the guy go. And he's having the most successful run he's had in the history of his damn career. How about that?
And let's say this about TNA, too. You're talking about, you know, you have bought the merchandise. You bought the DVDs. I mean, we would buy the $9.99 pay-per-views.
Right.
The Wednesday night pay-per-views, and we enjoyed those.
Yep.
I bought a lot of $29.99 pay-per-views back in the day as well. I mean, the 2006s and 2007s, I mean, they had great stuff with Angle and Samoa Joe. They had great stuff with America's Most Wanted, as you talked about. They had some great stuff, and we have supported TNA to a large degree on this podcast, going back to the Hotline days, 2004, 2005. We would come on and do a show, a Hotline report, where we were talking very positively about TNA. It was something different. We loved the X Division. The girls were really good. They were giving us something different. And they were putting on good weekly television shows, albeit at Friday at 3 o'clock or whatever it was on Fox Sports Net. But we were supporting TNA. As I said, I bought a lot of the pay-per-views. I reached out to TNA over the years. You know, when it would come time for a pay-per-view, reach out to TNA. Say, hey, give us so-and-so on the show. We'll talk about your pay-per-view. We'll talk about Impact Wrestling on Spike Television. We'll talk about Impact Wrestling moving to Destination America. Give us this talent. And then we reach out to the talent and say, hey, come on our show. Cool, no problem. Reach out to TNA. No, they're not available. I mean, this is just ridiculous.
And
I mean, this is why they're TNA. This is why the dead brand.
And put it to you like this. This was during a time in 06 and 07 where people were like, you know, TNA is really hot. They're really good right now. And like Steve said, we would have, you know, reach out fillers to TNA offices and you know, in Nashville about, hey, why don't you give us this guy? Why don't you give us that guy? Come on and promote Bound for Glory or come on and promote Destination X or something like that. They wouldn't do it. It's like I've never seen a company that didn't want any damn publicity to promote
and they
their shows.
They actually did it. When we did the Hotline in 04, 05, they would do that because they had a different PR director at that time.
Right.
It was a woman.
Yeah.
And we'd have no – I mean, they would send us merchandise.
Yep.
They would promo stuff, and I'd say, hey, can I have AJ Styles? They might say, well, he's only available for 20 minutes or 30 minutes, but we'd get him on.
It's better than
and
nothing.
They could talk about TNA. It's better than nothing. You know, they would give us Samoa Joe or whoever it was back in the day. I don't think it was Samoa Joe. I believe Daniels was on our hotline back in that time, too. I would call the TNA office and say, you know, show's coming up. Can we have so-and-so? Boom, they would give us that talent. And then as the years went along, they would not give us talent. I guess TNA got mad at me and they decided they didn't want to work with me. Okay, well, look where you are today.
Yep.
You're not even paying your talent.
Yep.
And I would like to. I'd love to come on this show and talk about Destination America, Impact Wrestling. Talk about how great their show is, how great their product is, how great their storylines are, how great the talent is. But I can't. I'm in a situation where I got to talk about they're not paying talent. Dixie Carter is losing power in the company. They can't sell the company. They've tried to sell the company. I mean, it's a miracle to me, Frank. And I laughed when they did it. But it's a miracle to me that they found another network to take Impact Wrestling show because it doesn't have a lot of followers. Again, I would say they've got a million followers or a million viewers a week on Impact Wrestling. Where are they? I don't see people on my website talking about TNA Wrestling. Where's these a million fans at that time? And now we're down to 450,000 fans or 433,000 fans watching Impact Wrestling. Where are they? Are they buying the shirts? Are they buying the DVDs? Are they on the GRP's Facebook discussion group talking about TNA wrestling? I mean, you go on and look at the threads. I don't see anything about TNA on those threads. Do I see anything about TNA when I post it? Only that, oh, you know, there's a few people that'll say, oh, you guys are just haters. You guys just like
right. The whip. And you know what? Let me stop you right there. Let me interject here if I may. Listen, we used to get called TNA ass kissers back in the day. Because we would be putting over the TNA brand like $1 million. Why? Because we were enjoying the product. We would come on and do our girl Hotline Reports, and we would talk about TNA, their pay-per-view on Sunday. We would do a better job of promoting it than they were.
Absolutely.
And it's like, okay, now the times have changed and the time has shifted, and now, oh, we're just, you know, as somebody said the other day on YouTube, we're just taking it up the ass from WWE. We're not taking up anything from the ass. We don't like them either.
They're not whipping us.
They're not whipping us. Listen, here's the thing that people don't seem to understand about the situation here. We don't get paid to come up here and do this podcast. We do this podcast because we want to do the podcast. But we have to report it like we see it. Do you think that, you know, I get some great jollies, like I go to sleep at night, but I wake up and say, okay, hey, let's do the podcast today. Like, I get up and the first thing I want to do, hey, Steve, let's talk some BS today about TNA, man. Let's just really give it to them. You really think that's what we want to do? Absolutely not. Do I wish that this was the 90s and the wrestling business was hot again? Absolutely. Because when the wrestling business is hot, we all benefit from the wrestling business being hot. The independents are up. Merchandise sales are going through the roof. Revenue is up for websites. Everybody's doing a good thing. It's not happening right now. And I'm sorry, but hey, I'm an NXT fan myself. NXT is not going to save the wrestling business. TNA could have been that number two, and not number two by default. But they could have actually been that number two. They could have been that company that stepped up to the next level. But mismanagement, depending on a guy whose better days were behind him as far as creative, that's what put them in the predicament they're in today. And that's why they are the dead brand. That's why. They are not showing me anything that would suggest to me that TNA is going to be around the next 5-10 years. They're not. I don't give a damn about them being on Destination America. I can care less. I couldn't care less about them being on Destination America. At the end of the day, what exactly is it doing? You went from having a million people watching your show, like Steve said, now you're down to 400,000. Okay.
And that's supposed to be progress? That's supposed to impress me?
That's supposed to be, exactly. That's supposed to impress. Okay, so what's that going to be? Out of how many people is it actually going to go to when TNA starts running house shows again? Are we going to start seeing these embarrassing photos on the line again of people taking pictures of TNA's attendance, of showing them at a 2,000-seat baseball stadium with 60 people at a show?
That's my point. When you had supposedly a million viewers on Impact Wrestling TNA Spike Television, and now suddenly you have 400,000 viewers on Destination America, and you start running these shows again because they keep talking about, oh, we're going to run these shows, we're going to run these shows. Okay, you're going to start running these shows. You're going to start booking the ECW arena or whatever. You're going to book a show in Chicago. You're going to book a show maybe in Frank's area out in Los Angeles. You're going to book a show in Detroit. You're going to book a show in Memphis or Nashville or whatever it's going to be. What are you going to draw? You're not going to draw flies. And again, these talent are not going to be paid because they're not making any money. So who cares if they're going to start running shows? You know, Bob Ryder out there saying, oh, we're going to run shows. We're going to start running shows. And, you know, for their sake, I hope they do, and I hope they draw. But how do they expect to draw anything? They've lost, what, 60% of their audience now, Frank?
Yep.
And they couldn't draw when they had the 60% back. What are they going to do when there's 400,000 people watching Impact on a weekly basis? And it's good for Destination America. They're telling you, oh, you know, this is good. You know, we got 400,000 viewers watching Impact Wrestling. But what does it do for Impact Wrestling?
Well, let me say this, too. Like, the gentleman every day who was talking crap on YouTube or whatever, do you actually support TNA? Do you actually go and buy merchandise from shoptna.com? Do you actually do that? I don't really think you do. I actually could take pictures of the stuff that I have from TNA. Can you do the same thing? Could you post them on Facebook for the world to see? You probably couldn't because you don't have anything from TNA. I've actually supported the product. I'm very pissed that it is in the shape it's in right now, because it shouldn't be in that situation. Look at all the talent that has passed through TNA. All the talent you guys had. X Division, doing things different with the X Division, the women, the Knockouts. The Knockouts Division used to be one of the most talked about divisions in the business. TNA had one of the best tag team divisions when WWE was lacking, and still today is lacking in tag teams. TNA had those tag teams. I mean, TNA had, who did you have? Yeah, the America's Most Wanted. Yeah, Triple X. You had, what was it? I'll go way back on this with Red Shirt Security. You had the Diamonds in the Rough. You had all these different tag teams. And now you dwindle down to a couple. Like everything bad that WWE does is like TNA wants to do it. And I don't get that. When they really could be an alternative to WWE and you actually give the fans an alternative, but they don't want to do that. They want to just be WWE version number two, WWE the light version. And I don't get it. I mean, I guess with them signing Taz, that was supposed to be, okay, we got Taz now. We got Taz and we got blue ropes and we're going to be like SmackDown.
I mean, you've nailed it, Frank. The whip has been boring for how long now?
Since before WCW went out of business.
So there you go. They've had, a decade at least.
Yep.
To give us something, and in all fairness, they did give us something different for a time.
Yes, they did.
You talked about the X Division. You talked about the tag teams. They had something at one time. The Knockouts was one of the top-rated segments of their shows. They gave us something different. The Knockouts division was really good. And today, in the last few years, TNA has sucked beyond belief. You can't draw flies. You can't sell T-shirts. You can't sell DVDs. I mean, if somebody sends me a picture of their TNA merchandise, it's probably something they get off the TNA website somewhere. I mean, that is how ridiculous things are. They've had so many opportunities with the whip, WWE being so boring the last several years. WWE is still boring.
Yep.
I mean, we had a good show with WrestleMania. We had a good follow-up show on Raw, and now it's back to the same boring drivel. And it would be great to talk about, hey, you know, you're tired of that WWE crap? Well, flip over to TNA Wrestling and check this out. But you can't do it. Because their show is not very entertaining either. And on top of that, less people see it. I mean, Frank, we have reached out to Dixie Carter. If she wants to be on this podcast, if Dixie Carter wants to be on this podcast, she can be on the podcast. She can refute things. She can come on the show and tell me how good TNA is doing. Bring it on. I'm all for it. If TNA wants to bring somebody on this show that can defend TNA and talk about the great things TNA is doing, talk about the business model working. I mean, you can say what you say about WWE, but they're a publicly traded company. They come forward with their financial numbers. We don't see the financial numbers in TNA. We know for the years they've been bleeding money. If somebody wants to come on this show from TNA and tell me that you're making money, come on the show and do it. Come on the show and tout your ratings and tout your house show business and tout your merchandise sales. Tout your licensing agreements that you're making so much money. But, I mean, when we ask Dixie Carter, she's not available. Okay, well. Oh, well. I mean, if you want to come on this show and refute being called the dead brand, come on the show and do it. Don't tell me you're not available. We're all for it. I mean, Frank D. and I have tried to keep an open mind. We try to tell it like it is. If we are doing something wrong, if we're not telling it like it is, or we're telling you something that's not factual, come on the show and refute it. But I guess they're too busy, Frank.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing with that, too. We're telling it like it is. You're never going to hear me come on here and lie about anything. So I'm not going to come up here and say that TNA doesn't suck if it does. That's just the bottom line. And, you know, and I kind of disagree with Steve a minute ago when Steve said, you know, we had a good WrestleMania and we had a good follow-up Raw. We actually didn't have a good follow-up Raw. We had a few good segments, and that was it.
Well, first half was good.
Exactly. After that, everything went to hell. But that's a different story. That's a different story. But the bottom line, to close up and summarize this TNA conversation, is that, listen, TNA, losing Taz is not that big of a deal if he's gone. let him go. You know, let the guy go. You know, you got Josh Matthews there. It's time for him to step up to the plate and prove himself. You got JB there, Jeremy Borash. The guy's got, you know, Howard Stern deals. That guy might one day be on the Howard Stern show if you're not careful. And he's really talented. He's talented enough to do it. So you might want to say, hey, Jeremy, we want to put you in a commentary role. You really care about the product. You're really, you know, into the product. Why not do it? Okay, Taz, no big loss. If Taz wants to go do this podcast, more power to Taz. Okay. But as I stated before, I'm not feeling Taz simply because of what New Jack said. So,
are people really going to listen to a Taz podcast?
Well, I don't know, Steve. I mean, are people really listening to Taz's commentary? Are they muting the TV like I do?
I just mean, you want to bring the excitement of Taz to a podcast? I mean, I'm sure with his connections he can get guests, but Gosh, a Taz podcast?
It's funny how he could probably get guests, but yet good old JR can't get anybody from the whip. Huh.
Is that right?
That's us.
That's interesting. We'll be right back with more wrestling discussion.
Hey, what's up? This is Frank D of the Gerwig Report Podcast and Gerwig.net. Hey, if you like what we do here on GRP, and you think we are truly the podcast that tells it like it is, why not represent the GRP? Show us a little support today by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/GERWECK. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwig. Four designs up right now, each $19.99 plus shipping and handling. But when you buy a t-shirt, you support Gerwig.net and you represent the podcast that tells it like it is. So check it out today. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwig, and thank you for your continued support of the Gerwig Report Podcast and Gerwig.net.
Are you enjoying this edition of the Gerwig Report Podcast?
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
Did you know that every edition of the Gerwig Report Podcast, the GRP, is archived at www.gerweck.net?
Really? Really?
Really?
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
The Gerwig Report Podcast has interviewed some of the biggest stars in the wrestling business.
Hi, I'm Eric Bischoff.
This is the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
Stevie Richards.
Former WWE Superstar Ricardo Rodriguez.
Teddy Long.
Ron Simmons, a.k.a. Baruch.
Christopher Daniels.
It's Frankie Kazarian.
The Honky Tonk Man, the greatest intercontinental heavyweight champion of all time.
Matt Hardy.
Rob Van Dam.
Paul London.
Ted DiBiase, the Billion Dollar Man. You remember me?
Terry Reynolds, and you are listening to the Gerwig Report Podcast with Steve Gerwig and Frank D. I don't miss it, neither should you.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
You can now listen to the
Gerwig Report Podcast
on the free TuneIn Radio app, featuring over 100,000 real radio stations, over 4 million podcasts streaming live from every continent, offering unprecedented access to listen to anything, anywhere. TuneIn lets you listen to over 100,000 real radio stations and more than 4 million podcasts from every continent, 200,000 mobile downloads per day. Available on iPhone, iPad, Android, Android tablets, Windows 8, BlackBerry, Amazon Kindle. Available in over 200 branded products with millions of devices sold worldwide, including Samsung Smart TV, Roku, Sonos, Sony, Sony PlayStation, Amazon Echo, Panasonic Vieira TV, Logitech Squeezebox. TuneIn brings streaming radio to cars, including GM, Ford, BMW, Tesla, Mercedes-Benz, Volvo, Nissan, Fiat, and more.
Today's edition of the Gerwig Report Podcast is brought to you by Gerwig.net, wrestling news since 1997. Check it out today, www.gerweck.net.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I am the infamous Carolina Lee Waters, here to tell you that for all your wrestling news, rumors, and gossip, you need to go to Gerwig.net.
Chris Jericho's podcast on the WWE Network just was a couple weeks ago. It ended up being the third most watched show in the history of the WWE Network. And I try to digest that for a little while because I'm thinking, okay, one or two must be WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series. In fact, Survivor Series was free in the month of November. So the top two shows must be probably WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, right?
No, I would think the top two shows have to be WrestleMania and Hall of Fame.
It just aired those. Yeah, that's right, Frank, because now they have 1.3 million subscribers or whatever it is now,
right,
currently. So you would think WrestleMania and the Hall of Fame ceremony would be one and two, right?
Yes.
But then you remember, well, who did Chris Jericho replace for the podcast on the WWE Network? Well, it was one Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
Remember, Stone Cold interviewed the chairman of the board, Vincent Kennedy McMahon, and that is the most watched show in the history of WWE Network. So number two then would have to definitely be WrestleMania 31, correct? It would have to be. I mean, they just had WrestleMania, 1.3 million subscribers, etc.
Yeah, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, yeah.
Yeah, well, no. Actually, the number two all-time most watched show in WWE Network is Austin's podcast with Triple H.
What?
So you're telling me the top three shows in the history of the WWE Network is the podcast with Steve Austin and Vince McMahon, the podcast with Austin and Triple H, and now Jericho, Cena. Not WrestleMania, not Royal Rumble, not SummerSlam, not the Survivor Series, not the Hall of Fame ceremony, etc. Frank, that just blows my brain.
Yeah, because they just did WrestleMania. They obviously have the data for these shows. I mean, they were able to get this data back as quickly as they did. I mean, Chris Jericho had it back within, like, what, 2 days? Something like that?
Yeah. And that was like the third most watched show.
Right. So I just kind of find that funny. We had WrestleMania 30, debut last year on the network. We had WrestleMania 31. We had the Royal Rumble. We've had Survivor Series. We had a lot of big shows. We had Fastlane. February was free on the WWE Network. And the top three shows in network history have been podcasts. That shows you what people really think of the current product at WWE.
The Monday Night War series they were touting?
That you mean to tell me that Monday Night War series, that rerun and that one sided tale? Yeah.
But in good news, the Monday Night War or the Attitude Era episodes of Monday Night Raw is now airing on the WWE Network. In fact, they have what? 3 episodes from 97, 52 episodes from 98, and 1 episode from 99 under a new category, the Raw Attitude Era on the WWE Network, Frank. And again, I got no problem with the Attitude Era, but, I mean, we just watched the WWE Monday Night War series, and again, where are the Monday Nitros?
Yeah, exactly. Where the hell is the Monday Nitros to accompany these episodes of Raw and the Attitude Era, which is so great? A lot of those shows were not great, Steve.
Really?
Looking back on it now, and I was actually watching a couple of them yesterday, this BS really sucked. I mean, it wasn't all that it was cracked up to be that we think it is. I need the Nitros to accompany these episodes of Raw so I can see what was good and what wasn't. That's what I need. And they're not giving it to us. Let's see. The network has yet to update anything for the old school, as far as old school house shows, as far as, you know, more world-class championship wrestling, AWA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But yet they found time to upload every episode of Raw from the Attitude Era, supposedly every episode of Raw, which, okay, you only have one episode from 99. So what, the Attitude Era just stopped on January 4th, 1999?
I guess.
So.
That's my thought, too. I guess that's when the Attitude Era officially ended.
Right. Well, I think.
Of course, they could add episodes later.
Yeah, but
they don't want to give you everything up front.
But they said they were adding every episode of the Attitude Era.
So they have defined the Attitude Era as the end of 97, all of 98, and early 99.
Right.
That was it. The Attitude Era was, 14, 15 months?
Yeah. That's what they're saying.
Boy. Seemed longer to me than that, but okay.
I could have swore the Attitude Era ended I think the Attitude Era ended in 2001. I think it ended right after WrestleMania.
I was saying after they bought the WCW.
Yeah, I think it was over. That's when it was done. I mean, but then you know they'll say that it went on after that, and then here comes the Ruthless Aggression Era. Which hell, where are the Ruthless Aggression Era of Raw? Where is that at?
I don't know. Was DX telling me to suck it after 2001?
No. There was no DX.
Okay. Because, I mean, they've had, like, how many formations of the DX?
Yeah, well, they've had a lot of them.
Yeah, a lot of them. It always comes back in some form.
Yeah, they had the Geriatric X and the Old World Order at WrestleMania, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's interesting. The Attitude Era is now defined as a 15-month period in WWE history.
Yeah, it just shows me right there that WWE Network people just don't know what the hell they're doing. That's what it seems like to me.
Well, that blows my mind that the top three shows on the network, in the history of the network, and they've been running since February of last year?
Right.
All the pay-per-views have aired on the network as part of your subscription. Some have aired for free, as Frank said. Fastlane in February, and for the month of November, you could have got the Survivor Series, and of course, this month, Extreme Rules is free. to new subscribers. But again, Frank, it's the top three shows. None of them are pay-per-views.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to predict this right now, that Extreme Rules, it is going to be a top contender for that spot with the announcement, Steve, at the SmackDown taping of a very unique match that has never, ever, ever, ever happened in the history of the World Wrestling Entertainment. We're going to have Sheamus versus Dolph Ziggler, Steve. Now, this is what's going to put this on top of the podcast, okay? This is where it's going to be number one. Okay, follow me with this. This is going to be incredible, the announcement I'm going to make right now here on GRP.
Oh boy.
Sheamus versus Dolph Ziggler in a, I can't believe I'm saying this, this is great, a Kiss My Arse match. I'm telling you, man, it is going to be, it's going to be a slobber knocker, Steve. It's going to be a blockbuster.
That's extreme.
That's a Kiss My Arse match, pal. I'm telling you, it's going to be, I'm telling you right now, when Vince McMahon, Steve, does that next conference call, you better believe he's going to tout that Extreme Rules was the number one show, the number one show viewed on the network in network history. I'm telling you, all simply because of this Kiss My Arse match.
Kiss My Arse.
Right.
Is that the PG version of Kiss My Ass?
I guess so. I guess it is, fella.
So what does this consist of exactly?
I have no idea.
So are we going to see somebody actually kiss another man's ass?
Why would I want to see that?
Yeah, I saw, you know, back in that Attitude Era, I saw a grown man kiss an old man's ass.
You know what? It was funny the first two times it was done, but then after that, it was kind of like, oh, okay, maybe Vince is really getting off of this.
I think he was.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, he liked people kissing his ass.
That's right. So I'm telling you, with the current card right now, I mean, see, they have a Russian chain match. You got the champion John Cena defending against Rusev. I mean, my God, man, a Russian chain, Steve. I mean, a chain coming all the way from Russia. Okay, this is going to be fabulous.
And then a last man standing, Roman Reigns against the Big Show. Man, I can hardly wait.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Wow, holy crap. I mean, I cannot wait to see this. This is going to be unbelievable. Oh, WWE, you definitely going to get my $9 next month, man. I'm telling you right now with the great product they're putting out. Yeah, you guys got my $9.99 next month. I guarantee you, pal, you're going to have it.
And then Nikki Bella against Paige.
Is that actually going to happen? Is that going to happen? Because I think Paige has been – I think she's been written off TV.
I don't know. Has Paige been hanging out with Sheamus? Because I know they have, like, the same skin tone now.
They probably have.
Yeah.
And let me say this, too, real quick. This is something that's actually kind of, like, stupid to me. Now, the wrestling fans have been, you know, chanting, you look stupid to Sheamus lately for some reason.
And I wonder why.
Well, you know, but here's the thing. Don't we as wrestling fans always look for the next evolution in a character? We want characters to change, right? So
for the better, though, for the better.
Well, what exactly is wrong with Sheamus' look?
Doesn't do much for me.
Well, I mean, I don't really see anything wrong. I mean, the guy went out there and actually changed it up, and people still have a problem. It's like you can't please anybody.
He looks kind of goofy to me, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, he looks like a Celtic warrior.
I would say he looks more intimidating the old Sheamus way.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing that I have a problem with Sheamus' whole persona right now. It has nothing to do with how he looks. I don't like his damn music. You ever see back in the day when a wrestler would turn heel? I'm going to use one guy right here, in particular Jake the Snake Roberts. Remember Jake the Snake had that really cool song when he was a babyface? And then when he turned heel, right, after like 2 weeks, they gave him a new theme song. It started off with Trust Me. And it actually was evil. The song was evil. It sounded evil. Why the hell can't we have music like that today? Why can't we have, if a guy turns heel, give him a damn song that sounds like a heel song? Sheamus' music right now sounds all different than when his babyface music. Who is it? Let me use another example. The dear departed Nelson Frazier, rest his soul. Remember when he was a Mabel? And he used to have that upbeat Men on the Mission theme song? And then when he turned heel, they gave him that rap beat, like the King Mabel theme song. Simple. What is so hard about doing that? Actually making music that actually fits the character.
I don't know. Maybe it's just wrestling is so dull today that Jim Johnson can't write the songs anymore.
I think Jim Johnson does music, but I don't think he's doing it alone. I think it's a group called the CFOs that do majority of the songs now. That's why everybody comes out to crap music now. Well, you know what? The only one out there I think has kind of decent music, but it's just like a remix of Goldust theme and Stardust. I think Stardust is, I think Cody Rhodes is trying, you know, with Stardust. I give him that. He's trying with it, so I think that's kind of cool. You know, but as you said, I mean, right as we're doing the podcast right now, I have an episode of Raw on from 97. It's in the ring right now. Three of the greatest characters in the business. You got Undertaker, Paul Bearer, and Kane. And it's like, you look at it now. You're exactly right.
And speaking of the current talent, Naomi actually did a heel turn. In fact, here's a clip from Raw.
Naomi, I'm sure your emotions were running high earlier, but can you explain to us now what motivated you to attack Paige, let alone doing so in her own country?
Well, you know, Saxton, I feel really disappointed in myself for losing my cool out there and attacking Paige the way I did. Yeah, right. I could care less. And are you an idiot like everybody else? I mean, Saxton, this isn't about Paige. This isn't about the country we're in. This isn't about people's emotions, honey. This is about me. Me. Let me ask you this. Who's the Divas champion?
Nikki Bella.
Exactly. Nikki Bella, the diva I beat twice. So tell me this. Why did we have to have a Divas Battle Royal tonight?
I don't know.
Exactly. Nobody knows. It doesn't make sense. It's ridiculous. It blows my mind. I mean, do wins and losses mean anything around here? I was in the same season of NXT as AJ, and I was good. Now AJ's gone. AJ's had her opportunities. Girl after girl, girl has had their opportunities, and I'm still sitting here just asking and wanting a chance while AJ is retired and everyone's excited about it and calling her a legend. Are you kidding me? Like, really, how much do y'all think a person could take? But I tell you what, all that stops now because I'm over it. I think people have taken my kindness for weakness for way too long. So I'm not waiting or asking for a chance anymore. I'm taking it.
Sounds like, Frank, that she's got a little personality to her. Maybe turning Naomi heel will actually work for her.
Oh, I think it was great. When I saw it, it took me by surprise. And I like it. I like it. You know, she had a certain bitchiness about her that we haven't seen. You know, she was a very likable character on Total Divas. And they've decided to turn her heel. And she attacked Paige. And the attack looked, kind of vicious. It's more vicious than we've seen from Naomi in the past. And she was wearing an Usos shirt, Steve. And I thought it was funny because she ripped that shirt off and threw it to the side.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Big heel turn.
Exactly. So I can't wait to see what they do with it. I think it's gonna be pretty good. But it sounded like now, okay, I'm wondering, are they gonna turn Nikki Bella babyface now?
Gosh, I hope not.
Yeah. I don't really care. I don't really care about the Bellas to begin with, to be honest with you.
And of course here in this clip, the New Day reacts to the New Day sucks chant.
Guys, you can't help but hear the audience chanting New Day sucks. What's your reaction to that? How's that been affecting you?
Hurts, Renee. It hurts.
Renee, it's disappointing. But we promise you will not find disappointment in our dancing. You won't find it in our chanting, and you definitely won't find it in our clapping. You see, Renee, we clap or we snap.
That's right. You see, Renee, yesterday I was at the airport getting something to eat, and a kid came up to me and said,
Mr. E, that New Day thing is terrible, but my brother's a big fan, and can you sign this breakfast menu for him?
And I replied, of course I can, buddy boy. And you know why I'm able to? Because I clap.
And, you know, Frank, you have been kind of critical of Xavier Woods, but maybe in this gimmick, this new clique they have here, maybe he's finally finding his niche.
I think so. I mean, I used to come on here all the time and talk nothing but crap about Xavier Woods. You know, and now it's kind of like, okay, I'm seeing it now. I'm seeing it. You know, it takes me a little while to come around to things, but I'm seeing it now. I enjoyed this the promo they cut here that we just played. It was actually from last week's Raw. They're just going along with it now. So I think it's pretty good stuff.
I'm liking the Kofi Kingston heel persona. I think he translates well as a heel.
I didn't
really think he would, but now that I see it, I think he's doing a really good job as a heel.
Yeah. I think he's doing pretty good. I think Woods is doing good. I think Big E as well. They all have that.
Do you think they're going to have the patience with New Day, or you think New Day is going right into the ground?
It depends on where they want to take the New Day at this point. I mean, they're going to obviously be heels, you know, going forward. The heel turn it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. And I don't know if they're going to be the New Day, if they're going to be the Nation. I don't know what they're going to do. But they definitely need to maybe add – they need to make this into a clique. They need to make this into some type of a group. That's what I think. But I don't know.
And you mentioned the Usos there. Well, Jey Uso just recently had surgery, so he's going to be out a while, 6 months. So does that – what do they do with Jimmy Uso in that time? He just works singles and be a jobber?
I think that Naomi might have some influence on Jimmy and might convince Jimmy to turn and might convince him that, hey, you know what? Your brother is really holding you back. Your brother's holding you back from being the Intercontinental Champion. He's holding you back from being a U.S. Champion. And I can see the brothers at some point in the future maybe feuding together. I think that's great.
That's true. The Usos have been together for too long in today's wrestling.
Exactly.
They've been together forever, it seems
right.
Like, right?
So I would love to see I'd love to see one of them continue on how they are and the other one turn heel.
So we're going to have Brett and Owen all over again.
I think so. And you know, it's always funny that a woman – is what's going to tear them apart.
Now that is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
CM Punk.
Oh, God.
I just say the name. But CM Punk made some, I guess, disparaging remarks about wrestling. In fact, I saw the parody already on, I believe it might have been you posted that as well, where
sure
he denies he was ever he denies he was ever in wrestling.
Exactly.
What essentially he says is, what's the point of being the wrestling champion? It's all work. It's all fake. And I guess he definitely ruffled some feathers with some of the wrestling fans out there. But I guess in some ways, even though, you know, you're not a big CM Punk person, I'm not really either. He does have some valid points. I mean, nobody is a champion unless somebody puts them over. AJ Lee can be the longest reigning Divas champion, but I mean, if she goes on the street, you know, she's going to get beat up, Frank. So I guess in some ways he made some valid points.
I mean, here's the deal. CM Punk basically said that it's a fake sport in a fake world. Everybody in that world is fake. And how can you be the best in the world, be a top guy? It doesn't matter. Because they're going to put over who they want to put over. They're going to push who they want to push. So I understand. I don't understand what people are, you know, so mad about. I mean, the guy actually came out and he just told the truth about how he feels. I think more, and the way I look at it is, it's pretty sad at this point of how, you know, he feels about sports entertainment. Simply because of how he was treated in WWE. I think that's the sad part about it. I mean, the guy used to love the wrestling business, and he hates it now. And he takes shots at it. You know, I think a lot of people out there right now, Steve, are waiting for Punk to get his ass kicked. You know, they want him to get his ass kicked. They want him to come running back to the WWE. That's what they want. I had no problem with what he said. I mean, he basically was stating what we already know. I mean, he was the best in the world, but yet he never main evented to WrestleMania. Well, I don't think CM Punk was the best in the world. I really don't think so. But, hey, whatever.
Well, some might argue on the flip side of that, is if you think that way, that, you know, wrestling is just fake, and what's the point of being a wrestling champion? Why did you get in wrestling in the first place?
Like I said, man, he loved the business. And CM Punk stated on his DVD, I believe he said that, you know, he had the most fun in his career he had on the Indies. So
isn't that amazing? You go through Ring of Honor, a lot of guys have a lot of fun, and they get to the whip, and
yeah,
it's not quite what they expected it to be.
Right, and I think a lot of that, you know, a lot of it too is just, I think Punk is I think he might have been jealous of some of the other guys there. I mean, there's no way in hell CM Punk can tell me that he was not jealous and not mad about the push that DB Daniel Bryan was getting. You cannot tell me you weren't mad about that. That'd be a lie. He is a liar. So hey.
Yeah, I didn't really have any problems with his comments. I mean, that's what he thinks. And again, a lot of it is the bitterness over what happened with WWE. And I don't know. Are a lot of people rooting that he loses his UFC fight?
I think CM Punk has turned a lot of the internet fans against him. I think so. I think a lot of those people that are bitching and moaning about CM Punk are going to be the same ones that's going to order that show when he debuts, and they're going to order it to see him get his ass handed to him, and the opposite might happen.
Well, he made the transition from ROH to WWE as Tyler Black did, Seth Rollins, Daniel Bryan, Matt Sydal, Evan Bourne, and now there's been rumors for a long time, Frank, that the Briscoe brothers would follow suit and go to WWE. Well, it's come out. In fact, ROH just sent out a video with the status of the Briscoe brothers. I guess it was reported that they did get an offer from the Whip, WWE, and they went back to ROH, and ROH said, we can do better than that. Well, then they call the Whip and say, well, here's our offer from ROH. Can you meet it or exceed it? And they say, no, we can't. We can't afford that. And so it looks like the Briscoes are going to stay in ROH. But, Frank, I mean, the Whip can't afford to bring in the Briscoe brothers?
No, see, they can't. I mean, they got 1.3 million subscribers, but Vince is still cutting costs.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
Yeah, you can't afford the Briscoes. We'll create our own Briscoes.
Boy, they did pretty well with, like, the Dudley boys came into the Whip. I don't know why.
It's a different time, though, man. It's a different,
Yeah,
it was a different time, I mean, look how stupid TNA was when TNA brought in the Young Bucks, and they gave them that goofy-ass Generation Me name. Just imagine what the Briscoes would be called if they came over to the Whip. We can't have you as a Briscoe, brothers, because you're disrespecting Gerald Briscoe.
And, of course, as you mentioned, the Young Bucks. I mean, Young Bucks have said no to WWE as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So?
I mean, you probably can make more on the independent circuit right now.
I think you might be able to do that. I mean, AJ Styles has made a hell of a living. I mean, one of the hottest factions right now in the business is Bullet Club. And WWE realized that. They wanted to try to shut that down. Well, good luck with that.
Well, Al Snow is going through a divorce. He was married to Cynthia Lynch, who had a brief run in WWF as Bobcat. We did report on GirlWake.net that they were separating, they were going through a divorce. And now Bobcat, or Cynthia Lynch, has come forward and, I guess, vented a lot of frustration over the time that she was married. I guess they were married for 12 years. A lot of allegations about infidelity, steroids, etc. I don't know, Frank, what do you think of her coming forward and kind of venting on social media?
I think that's the most immature thing to do. I think that what's going on in their personal household and their personal lives is their business. It's not my business. I here's the thing about it is that, okay, if the guy was cheating on you for 12 years and you're just now doing something about it, what kind of woman are you? What kind of woman are you to sit up there and take it for so long? So that's my issue with that. It's kind of like when we talked about the Seth Rollins thing months ago. I didn't want to talk about that. I kind of want to talk about this either because it's not really my business. I don't know the story behind that. I don't know if what she's saying is true or not. If she's saying that Al Snow was having an affair, he was running around with females, whatever, okay, you know what? That's what happens. I mean, honestly, Steve, how many wrestlers do you know that are really faithful to their spouse?
Not very many.
Okay, so that's going to happen. She knows the business. She knew the business that her husband's involved in, so hey, it is what it is.
In fact, I believe it was the Honky Tonk Man. The only person he ever knew to be loyal or faithful to his wife was Owen Hart.
Right.
So, I guess it's not a big shock that the wrestlers fool around on the road.
Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, you get married, but hell, Your balls do get bored, so hey.
And steroids? No, not steroids.
When exactly was Al Snow ripped?
I guess some people just use it to get a little toned, I guess. I mean, we've seen puny guys on steroids and not get ripped. I mean, build a little muscle mass and bulk up a little bit, add a little weight, you go on the roids. I don't know.
I guess.
You know, something that was alarming to some, we talked about Abdullah the Butcher selling his WWE Hall of Fame ring, put it on eBay. It came out that Paul Bearer, who just would have been his birthday, I think, last week, his family sold the ring that he would have received, or the family received, for Paul Bearer's induction to the WWE Hall of Fame. I don't know, Frank. It seems like maybe with we heard what Paul Orndorff left his plaque back at the hotel.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe at some point WWE is going to have to say, you know, we're going to give these rings to you out. And, you know, we're not allowing you to go on a public forum like eBay and sell them, because I don't think that looks very favorable to the WWE Hall of Fame for people to be selling their rings.
Yeah, I mean, they could probably put a legal constraint on there and say you can't do this, you can't do that. But I don't know, Steve. I mean, if they don't want the rings, you can make a profit out of them. Go ahead. I mean, I don't really know who would want to buy Abdullah the Butcher's ring. You know,
no, I don't.
You know, I don't even want to touch anything that man has, but... You know, I mean, hell, it's just a ring. The ring doesn't mean anything. And obviously it doesn't mean anything to a lot of people. And on top of that, Steve, you know what? There are lots of wrestlers out there who have belts, who have, you know, championship belts that they've worn that they sell. So it's not a big deal.
Yeah, the real question would be, what is the true value of a WWE Hall of Fame ring?
Well, Abdullah the Butcher will tell you that it's about $19,000. Matter of fact, I think it was $19,999.99. I think that's what he's selling it for.
Yeah.
Okay. So Paul Bearer's ring sold for what, $20,000, something like that.
If you take it to a jeweler, what's a jeweler going to give it? You know, give you for the ring.
Well, I mean,
what's its true value?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. Is
obviously,
it real?
Yeah. I mean, people are going to buy it because it's a WWE Hall of Fame ring.
Yeah, but I'm saying, is there any kind of diamonds in that damn thing? That's what I'm asking. I don't need something with a damn logo on it. You know, some damn ring made of copper. I mean, is there anything of value there?
I don't know. I've never heard anybody say that this is the most beautiful ring or it's made of this. I don't know what it's made of. I just wonder what the true value is. If it's really valuable, you'd think maybe Abdullah the Butcher would hang on to it.
I don't know. I don't want to buy something that's going to turn my finger green. So that's just what I'm saying.
Well, Frank, another day or another week and another lawsuit against WWE. Now we've heard that Luther Reigns and Sakota have come forward. Remember Sakota? Does anybody remember this guy?
Vaguely. I think he was with Tajiri on SmackDown.
I guess they're suing WWE for decades of being subjected to extreme physical brutality.
Decades?
Decade.
What the hell? Decades?
A decade.
Who? Wait one second there, pal. Decades, huh? They're suing the WWE for them performing for decades?
Well, you know, they've been in the business for a long time.
Yeah, but WWE specifically is naming his lawsuit, right?
Yeah.
And Sakota is suing for him being in there for decades? This dude was there for a cup of coffee.
Does anybody remember Sakota?
Decades, though.
Decades. Decades of brutality.
Really? Who's involved in this lawsuit again?
Luther Reigns and Sakota.
Luther Reigns. Okay, Luther Reigns. Is this the former Horseshoe from WCW who used to be on Worldwide Jobbing?
And Big Russ McCullough, who was a developmental talent.
I have no idea who he is.
Who I don't think ever made it to the big main roster.
Okay, so let's go back to this one more time. Sakota and Luther Reigns. They were in the WWE for decades, huh?
Well, they got into this business, and I guess they didn't expect to be in steel cage matches or anything like that.
Okay. So, okay, I'm going to have to do some investigating. I'm going to have to look on the network today and see if I can find all those classic matches. Luther Reigns for decades, huh?
Yeah, all the Luther Reigns cage matches, Extreme Rules.
Hell in the Cells.
Hell in the Cell, TLC, all those, you know, all those grueling matches he had.
He was a main eventer.
In fact, I remember, wasn't Luther Reigns the Horseshoe in WCW?
Yeah, actually, you know what, Steve, he was. As a matter of fact, Luther Reigns was in that that main event with Sting and Hogan at Starrcade 97. He was one of the nobodies out there that was celebrating with Sting when Sting beat Hogan. So I guess he main evented.
I guess to be technically correct, the lawsuit claims WWE has been putting their entertainers into extreme brutality. So not them specifically, But since they were there and they were exposed to it, now they're going to sue WWE.
Huh.
Which is kind of funny because they've been out of the business for a long time. And now suddenly in 2015, they decide, hey, maybe we should sue WWE.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, in fact, what Jerry McDivitt, the attorney for WWE, has basically said, and I have to agree to him to a certain degree, is that these trial lawyers or these lawyers you see on television, have you been in a slip and fall or all these frivolous lawsuits that you can file? They like to come forward and say, hey, did you work for WWE? Did they do something that they shouldn't be doing in WWE? Maybe you can file a lawsuit, because we've seen more and more lawsuits against WWE. And so I guess, really, to a certain degree, Frank, I think Jerry McDivitt may be onto something here.
Huh, could be. I can't wait to see how this turns out.
Yeah, Luther, Reigns, and Sakota.
That's very, very interesting. Luther, Reigns, and Sakota, and Johnny Come Lately, all suing the WWE. Crazy.
Well, Frank, for WrestleMania 32,
right?
I mean, they're already making their plans. This is what they do.
Absolutely.
They never wait to the last minute to decide what they're going to do for WrestleMania.
Oh, no.
What they want to do and what they will do will probably be probably not one and the same. But the tentative plan is Triple H against The Rock. In fact, we ran a poll at Gerwick.net. Do fans want to see The Rock versus Triple H? It seems like I've seen that match before.
Right.
It seems like in my memory, I think I've seen that match before. But do fans want to see that in 2016? And according to Gerwick.net voters, 61% say no, they do not want to see Triple H versus The Rock. Now, I know, Frank, you don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. And I guess the universe doesn't want to see it either.
I don't really want to see anything Triple H has to do, to be honest with you. I'm really not throwing a rock. I mean, you know, long gone are the days of know your role and shut your mouth and jabroni and all that stuff. Jabroni's Drive. And know your role.
Lay the smack down
on your Rudy Poo Tandy ass. All those days are gone. What we have now is a Rock getting slapped in the face by Stephanie McMahon, who's trying to be her father. I'm just not feeling it, man. I don't want to see that, and I don't want to see Ronda Rousey versus Stephanie McMahon.
Well, the other thing I was going to bring up is they want to do this match, Stephanie McMahon versus Ronda Rousey. My thought is, I mean, here you have CM Punk, now a UFC employee, a fighter for UFC, coming forward and saying, you know, that fake wrestling, and certainly Dana White, I'm sure, may respect WWE and Vince McMahon, but he doesn't want to put the two as one and the same either. I can't imagine that Dana White's too thrilled with the idea of Stephanie versus Ronda Rousey in a WWE ring.
No, because it's going to be, you know, no, he's not. Absolutely not. And I don't see how it's going to happen. I mean, Ronda wants to do it. I mean, obviously, Ronda is a big wrestling fan. I mean, Rowdy Ronda Rousey, you know, that's her name, Rowdy Piper, you know, the Four Horsewomen, the Four Horsemen. I mean, come on. So she's obviously a big fan. She wants to do it, but, hey, she's under contract with UFC. So it's going to be whether they want her to do it or not.
I mean, she got permission from Dana to do the angle at WrestleMania, but I just can't see him signing over and saying, okay, you know, one of my top fighters, certainly the top fighter in the women's division, undefeated Ronda Rousey, is going to be in a worked match against, what, 40-year-old Stephanie McMahon?
Well, but you know what, in saying that, you know, Floyd Mayweather Jr. did do that match with the Big Show at WrestleMania. You had to work around it.
But Floyd Mayweather's his own man. He wasn't working for UFC.
Well, that's true.
WWE wants it, Stephanie wants it, Ronda wants it, but does Dana White – I mean, Dana White has the contract. Is Dana White going to say, okay, go ahead and do that worked – that fake wrestling stuff when I'm selling you as this vicious woman that could beat any woman, any woman out there?
But she would – I don't know if it would happen because she's – like you said, it's a work.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it happening. I know they want it. I just don't see it happening. And Triple H versus The Rock? I mean, come on, Frank. I've seen that 100 times. I don't want to see it in 2016. I would rather have seen something fresh. I mean, this year we got Triple H Sting. Didn't blow me away as Sting versus Undertaker, but it was something different.
Right.
I just don't want to see The Rock against Triple H again. I mean, that's the best they can give me. That's not really a dream match to me at all.
Well, you know, I could say, let me see The Rock versus Roman Reigns.
Well, that's his cousin.
Right. Let me see these two wrestle. Let me see The Rock versus, I don't know, Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Ambrose. I don't know about Ambrose. You know what? Let me say this about Dean Ambrose. I really don't see – I mean, I was an Ambrose fan, don't get me wrong, but now, you know, I've had some time to look at his work, and I don't really see what the big deal is.
They've watered him down.
They sure have. Yeah. He's definitely suffering.
I'm not sure it's him or the company, but I think they've definitely watered him down.
Well, I'm not feeling him. It's just – I don't get it.
Well, who are you feeling in the whip?
you know, that's a good question.
Yeah,
I mean, I like Seth Rollins as champion, but is Seth Rollins going to be the champion to hold on to the belt? Is he going to be a transitional champion? I mean, is he holding it for Reigns to get over?
Well, you said it. Yeah, is he a transitional champion? And we're actually running the poll at girlwick.net. Who will Seth Rollins face at SummerSlam? Is it going to be Roman Reigns or is it going to be Brock Lesnar? It seems like, in the storylines, it should be Brock Lesnar, although maybe the alternative, Frank, is do a three-way match at SummerSlam as well.
I think that would be a better match than having him face Lesnar by himself.
Because all three of them were a victim of him cashing in the money in the bank. You could say, you know, Brock never lost, and Roman Reigns lost to somebody who wasn't even in the match. So you could go that storyline, but I don't know. If that's all they have for WrestleMania 32, Frank, it doesn't look very exciting.
Right.
Yep. I know it's a long time away, but I mean, years past, we would know what the main event would be for next year's WrestleMania. And
well, I'm kind of thinking that maybe we're going to see that eventual showdown between Stinger and the Deadman.
Perhaps at WrestleMania next year.
Perhaps.
Because you would think maybe they're going to do Triple H Sting at SummerSlam. At least I would think that would be the reason Sting lost the match at WrestleMania. But, you know, booking doesn't always make sense in wrestling, so who knows?
Sure.
But we did ask people at girlwick.net, will Ronda Rousey compete in the WWE ring? And fans are buying the story, Frank. 64% think she will actually get it in the ring and compete in a WWE ring. Again, I just don't see it. What? Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe Vince has the magic power with Dana, because certainly we've seen them together before, and Dana's been at the Titan Towers, but man, I just don't see it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe there can be some kind of a cross promotion there between the real brand versus the fake brand.
Could be.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know, man. You know, it's just going to be a situation where we're going to have to, you know, play it out and see where they go with it. But obviously, that would be big business for WWE for that to happen.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I know they want to do it. I just don't see Dana White signing off on it. Maybe I'm wrong. And then, you know, we also ran a poll at girlwig.net. Who's the better promoter? You know, speaking of, you know, fake versus real here. And Dana White, 54% said Dana White, 46% Vince McMahon Jr. Frank D., who is the better promoter?
Vince McMahon. He's been around longer.
That's what a lot of people said.
I mean,
Vince McMahon has been, I mean, he's what? Billions, a billionaire?
Yeah, he's been a mainstay. He's one of the guys that helped to make pay-per-view. He's one of the people that were actually putting over the UFC back in the day when UFC was nothing. I mean, we don't hear we hear all the time, you know, the revisionist history of the big war the WWE had with WCW, but we don't hear about that with UFC versus Bellator or anything like that.
Well, maybe people looked at this poll as currently who's a better promoter.
Currently who's a better promoter? I'm going to have to still go with WWE. I'm going to have to go with Vince McMahon.
I think a lot of people looked at this current success of UFC and said UFC. But I would say
UFC's had a good couple of years. They haven't had, you know, mainstay longevity like World Wrestling Federation Entertainment.
Yeah, I think in the longevity of Vince McMahon Jr. going back to buying his daddy's company as the WWWF back in, what, the early 80s?
Right.
Till now, and he's still around, got the WWE Network. It's hard to argue the success that Vince McMahon has had. But it's interesting. I would have expected on a wrestling website like Gerwig.net that Vince would have won. Maybe just people are a little upset with Vince McMahon these days.
I think they are. I mean, with the garbage that they feed, you know, people. I mean, the garbage that they feed people on a weekend and week out basis. The fact that the show is so neutered and watered down. The fact that, you know, this damn zoom in, zoom out camera angles that they do on the show. It's just a lot of it, you know. Just Raw is just all bad. I mean, they push people that you don't really care about, and I can see why people feel the way they do.
Yeah, I totally can relate. I mean, we've been talking about how bad WWE's been for so long, but in this poll, I was surprised. I don't know. Were you surprised that people would vote for Dana White over Vince on a wrestling website? I mean, if you ran this poll on an MMA website, I'm easily think Dana White would win, but on a wrestling website.
I'm not really surprised, no.
Okay.
I'm not really surprised at all because that's just how it is. I mean, people go by not so much of the success that you had yesterday, they go by it today. And right now it seems like, you know, right now Dana White seems to have the edge over the WWE, but in reality they don't, because I don't see any shows where UFC is doing the numbers in attendance like WWE is on for WrestleManias, et cetera.
I totally agree with you. You know, Frank, if fans enjoyed this wrestling podcast, and hopefully you did, you know, definitely spread the word. We're on Twitter at Gerwick Report. I'm on Twitter as Gerwick. I'm also on as Steve Gerwick if you want the real fight against the NWO, not the Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Hulk Hogan version of the NWO, what's really going on in the real world out there. We're on Gerwick Report podcast on Facebook. Just search for Gerwick Report on Facebook. You can join the discussion group. We usually have a fantasy match, Frank. Some of these fantasy matches get very involved. And in fact, the other day I put up, are you a fan of this guy? And it was a picture of Randy Orton, and that got people really stirred up, Frank. Some people really love Randy Orton, and some people really don't.
Hey, you know what? I like the RKO out of nowhere.
You know, I just find the guy extremely boring. Yeah. And maybe that's a product of the product today.
Well, he
just doesn't excite me at all.
Well, you know, Steve, he excites somebody, because the other day I saw on Twitter where a fan was telling Orton about how he wanted to buy his kid a Randy Orton T-shirt, and they had none in child sizes, but they had the John Cena shirts in every size. So Randy Orton was a little bit mad about that.
Go figure.
Yeah. But you can
Super
also,
Cena.
Yeah, Super Cena. But you can also send questions as well to GerwickReport@gmail.com. You can send your questions there as well. We can maybe use some of them here on the podcast.
And as Frank would always say, definitely join us on YouTube as well.
Exactly. YouTube.com/GerwickReportPodcast is the place to go for clips from the Gerwick Report podcast. Also, our interviews up there that we've done in the past. So, like and subscribe. Check it out today. Gerwick Report podcast on YouTube. YouTube.com/GerwickReportPodcast. Check it out today. Also, one more time, ProWrestlingTees.com/GERWECK. Buy a T-shirt today. When you do, you help support the Gerwick Report podcast and Gerwick.net. And if you can't buy a shirt, just spread the word about the podcast. Let people know you like Frank D, you like Steve Gerwick, you like the fact that we tell it like it is here on the GRP. And also tell people about Gerwick.net. If you can't afford the WWE Network, if you can't afford that $9.99 and you want to watch the pay-per-view and you really can't afford to order it on PPV, hey, go to Gerwick.net on pay-per-view nights and follow along. We always have live, up-to-date, you know, match results. So check it out today, Gerwick.net.
Yeah, definitely during Raw, definitely join us for Raw, the discussion on what's going on with the show. Got the SmackDown spoilers. A lot of times being taped live, you can get the spoilers there. Gosh, you remember back in the day, Frank, when SmackDown spoilers really meant something?
Yep.
And now you put it up there and nobody cares.
Exactly. Nobody cares.
But if you want to follow the SmackDown spoilers, we have those there. When TNA does their next rounds of taping, I suppose they're going to tape, what 16 shows in the next 3 days in Orlando? You can get all the taped results, all those pay-per-views they tape way in advance. You can get the results at Gerwick.net. As always, we do appreciate your support here. Definitely spread the word if you enjoyed today's podcast, the podcast that tells it like it is. We appreciate you listening to this edition of the Gerwick Report podcast. All Gerwick Report podcasts are available at www.gerweck.net. Also check out Gerwick.net for all your pro wrestling news, polls, pay-per-view results, TV recaps, WWE, TNA, and ROH talent rosters. Follow the Gerwick Report podcast on Twitter at Gerwick Report. Follow Frank D on Twitter at RealFrankDEE. Follow the Gerwick.net website at Gerwick. Also, follow us on Facebook. Join our discussion group. On Facebook, simply search Gerwick Report Podcast. Like us on Facebook. Also, you can listen to previous editions of the GRP on TuneIn and at Stitcher. And if you enjoyed the podcast, definitely spread the word about the podcast. Tell your friends on Twitter, on Facebook, and get the word out about the GRP. We definitely would appreciate your support. Also, you can check out our Pro Wrestling Tees store. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. Or while you're at ProWrestlingTees.com, just simply type in Gerwick. Stay tuned for the next edition of the Gerwick Report podcast.
You.